That would be one of my favorite groups. That's War Slipping Into Darkness. Hi, this is Charles, democraticfundamentalism.org. Well, I'm still standing. It's an old Elton John song, I'm thinking now. Probably something will come up about Elton John tomorrow. That would be kind of funny. That's the way it goes these days. I have a really incredible tale of synchronicity for you tonight. It's going to be really funny. It's going to combine entertainment with synchronicity with, you just wait. It's a pretty funny story. Anyway, I really love that kind of stuff. Back in my high school days at Soquel High School in Santa Cruz, California, I used to get together with a group of 12 other friends and students, and we used to practice psychic skills, and we got pretty good at it. It was a lot of fun. But I chose not to use it as a tool to benefit myself because it would be lacking in integrity to do so. I've been playing with it lately, though. You know, Santa Cruz, though, seriously, is a pretty magical place, home of a fairly famous place called the Mystery Spot. I had one friend later on in life who actually lived there, and I had a place on top of the hill above it. It was great. It was a place made into an apartment. It was very large, but it had been the stable of a large farm years before. I slept in the loft upstairs with a skylight just above my head. And when the moon was full, I just couldn't sleep at night. When I'd get up in the morning at 5 a.m., I'd go outside on the back porch where my shower was and stand there naked to the world, though there was no one to see me. And I'd stand in the steaming hot water and watch the sun coming up as I viewed the beautifully wooded valley that stretched for about 20 miles and finally ended purveying the beaches off into the horizon over Monterey Bay. The address was 1 Highgate Road. I called it the Heavenly Valley. There were lots of animals there. Raccoons, deer, mountain lions, bears every once in a while, and an amazing variety of birds. It was a very peaceful place, a very magical place. And Santa Cruz is not just magical. It's got a heritage that's a shining example of people caring for their community. They always have, and they always will. And I really miss the great place, too. It's a little restaurant I went to every night at exactly the same time for months after a friend and I did our nightly three trips on the roller coaster down at the boardwalk. With that, I've actually outlined what I'm going to talk about tonight. All you have to do is figure out how it all relates to the topics that actually come up. I want to start off, though, by talking about heritage. Heritage is something that I think is really important. You know, it's what older generations pass down to new generations. It's the legacy of a nation. It's the fabric of a society. It's the tradition and values illustrated in a story and a picture that allow us to imagine what our predecessors had in mind. And it's what we base our interpretations of how the world should be are based upon. A few nights back on CNN's Newsnight with Aaron Brown, the guest was one of my most beloved TV heroes, Walter Cronkite. For those of you a little too young to remember him, Walter Cronkite was a pioneer in the television news business. He was a hero to Americans, and in the year he retired as the anchorman at CBS News, I think it was the year he retired, a poll was taken and he was identified as the single most trusted man in America. He must have felt so honored. He ended each broadcast with the phrase, "And that's the way it is." And you know what? It was. As Aaron Brown reported, he went to Vietnam and found the war a failure. And when he came back and said so, the president, Lyndon Johnson, knew it was over. Aaron Brown asked him, "How do you think the press, television and print, how do you think it's done, not with 9/11, but since 9/11, in dealing with some of the complicated and difficult issues that extend beyond the attack itself?" Cronkite said, "Well, I think it's done fairly well with a very difficult set of circumstances, a very seriously difficult set of circumstances." He said, "When you've got a terribly aggressive administration in all of its policies, one that is not inclined to share information with the press in the first place, and which is proposing solutions to our very difficult problems today, which we must admit they are faced with, that require a great deal of explanation, a lot of looking into. They're not inclined to share this administration with this Congress or with the people in any other way. To delve into that looks as if somehow otherwise unpatriotic. We've got to be awfully sure that we understand what patriotism is. He said, patriotism is one's of devotion to what believes to be right for his or her country and its policies and its performance. That may not agree necessarily with the policy of the administration itself. He said, we have a right to stand up and say, wait a minute, hold it a minute, that's possibly wrong, let's look at this. Well, the press has to be a leader in that. The press has to be the most skeptical so that when the people do not become cynical. Cronkite went on to say, it has to say, wait a minute, just a minute, let's go through that one more time. What did you say, and how does it apply to the situation precisely? Aaron Brown said, do you think we have been as a group timid? Timid in saying we need to go with those troops in Afghanistan? Timid in saying we are those detainees? What is being done with them? Timid in any of those respects? And Walter Cronkite answered, without a question of a doubt. And our timidity in this matter of being able to cover our troops in action in Afghanistan does not, well, I cannot explain. I do not know why the press of this country has laid down and played dead over this issue when it's the fundamental, it seems to me, in regards to our freedom of speech and press, our right to know, with the forces that we send into a foreign country to act in our name, we are not entitled to know what they're doing in our name. That, to me, just does not follow at all what I would call a democratic process. There's a whole lot more to that interview, too. It's really great. It's about halfway down the page in the transcript, and it sure says a lot about the responsibility Americans have to speak out and take part in protecting freedom, and the difference between the way things were then and now. And that's the way it is. Now, for my favorite. No, actually, this isn't my favorite. It's my least favorite part of this. Well, maybe my favorite sometime. Bushisms. And it's hard to pick just one or two from a day like today, a Bushism-rich environment. So much to comment on. The Bushism for today is vague promises aren't going to cut it in the election. That came from Jeb Bush. He was complaining today that Democrats just point out the many failings in his administration as Florida's governor, as if there aren't any. And then he says they shouldn't talk because they're supposedly not proposing any new ideas. Well, the thing is, Jeb, you're the governor, and just for the fun of it, tell us what you're going to do to take responsibility for the messes your administration has caused and allowed. Look yourself in the mirror, Jeb. Don't laugh for too long. In the world of George, clearly the Bush administration is disappointed that the world is being so reasonable about trying to prevent war, mass destruction, and another generation of foreign groups that hate us. It's a word I found in the dictionary the other day that I believe applies to the situation regarding Iraq's willingness to receive UN inspectors. The word is negotiate, lest the only thing you're interested in is war. But there's a whole lot more going on than just the Iraqi situation that should remind you of the pattern of policies implemented by the Bush administration. For example, let's just point this out. The CDC now confirms 7 more West Nile deaths. The death toll is now at 71. More than 1,500 people have been affected. Let's see, a federal judge held Interior Secretary Gail Norton in contempt for failing to heed his order to fix oversight problems with a trust handling hundreds of millions of dollars in royalties from Indian land. U.S. District Judge Royce Lamberth called the department's handling of the Indian money and the action of the government attorneys in the case disgraceful, and found 4 specific incidences where the department committed fraud on the court. Norton is the 3rd cabinet officer that Lamberth has held in contempt over the trust fund. In a 267-page opinion, the judge said the Interior Department not only failed to comply with his order to account for the money in the Indian accounts, but lied to the court about its efforts to repair the trust and protect Indian money. The agency has indisputably proven to the court, Congress, and the individual Indian beneficiaries that it is either unwilling or unable to administer competently the Indian Trust, Lamberth wrote. Worse yet, the department has now undeniably shown that it can no longer be trusted to state accurately the status of its trust reform efforts. In short, there is no longer any doubt that the Secretary of Interior has been and continues to be an unfit trustee delegate for the United States. Meanwhile, in Congress, Congress is to reveal evidence on pre-9/11 threats. A veil of secrecy will begin to rise Wednesday when a congressional committee reveals some of the information that U.S. spy agencies knew about suspected terrorist activity before the September 11th attacks, including the disclosure that analysts knew Al-Qaeda had previously plotted to use aircraft as terrorist weapons. The recently declassified documents will be made public for the first time during an open hearing of the Joint House Senate Intelligence Committee. In Knoxville, Tennessee, I have a correction for you and an update. Residents return home after an acid scare. The correction is I stated that there were 30,000 people evacuated, and in fact it was 3,000 people, nonetheless significant and needless. Residents evacuated after a sulfuric acid leak near Knoxville, Tennessee, was allowed to return to their homes Tuesday morning. Only a small section on Turkey Creek Road at the accident site remained closed. Residents were told officers would be in the area to assist residents. The leak began Sunday morning when a Norfolk Southern freight train derailed about 20 miles southwest of Knoxville, rupturing a tank car carrying sulfuric acid. No casualties were reported from the accident or from the ensuing toxic spill. A whole bunch more on that story, of course, from CNN. Let's see. Terror scare men. We want our dignity back. A reasonable request. Three medical students, the focus of a terrorism scare on a Florida interstate last Friday, said public prejudice against Muslim Americans is more responsible for igniting a fear that they could be terrorists than anything they might have said. We're here to make it clear to the public that we want our dignity back. That by Iman Geith, 27. He said that on a Monday night show of Larry King Live. He said, "We value human life, and this is why we chose to become doctors, to protect human life," he said. "Not only did I mourn 9/11, I have friends that are directly affected by 9/11. I had friends who had family members who were in that building. They were all detained for hours on Friday by Florida officials on suspicion of carrying explosives, but no explosives were ever found." I'll mention, too, that FBI Director Robert Mueller has asked African-American educators to encourage their students to become FBI agents. On the surface, it's a seemingly harmless request, but it's the beginning of the infiltration of the schools to train children to become independent of their parents. It's the same way Germany caused its youth corps long ago, eventually leading to parents living in concern that their children would turn them into authorities, say, example, for voicing an opinion contrary to the current administration. Now, before this country gets righteous about Iraq's obligations to the United Nations, I think I've shown a little more of why I believe this administration has its true interests, not in the best interest or speaking of the welfare of the people. When he visited the school in Nashville today, the anniversary of the signing of the Constitution, George Bush recited once again the Pledge of Allegiance with God included, had to get that in, and then explained the heritage and importance of the Pledge of Allegiance. My suggestion to George would be instead to read the Constitution to them and then explain what that means, if he can. I have my doubts. Now that that's out of my system, let's talk about something good, something an artist has done. I love artists. Film star Angelina Jolie has donated $100,000 to provide food for Western Sahara refugees, United Nations aid agencies said Friday. The American actress, who is a goodwill ambassador for the UN High Commissioner for Refugees, gave the money to UNHCR and the World Food Program to help support some 155,000 refugees living in camps in southeastern Algeria. She said, "I was distressed when this desperate situation was brought to my attention. I hope to encourage other people to make themselves aware of this crisis facing the Western Saharan refugees and do what they can to help," Jolie said in a statement. You know, artists are like that. They really like to give in lots of ways. Speaking of artists, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is going to replace its current feature exhibit after December. The current feature is of John Lennon. It will be replaced, though he will not be replaced, by an exhibit of U2. All right, now here we go. Synchronicity and entertainment. We do try to pack it in. A couple of weeks ago, I was trying to think of a theme for the union, and I thought, well, have it your way would be good, but it's in use, and I didn't want to be accused of advertising for Burger King, though I eat there often. And that's when I came up with the idea of imagine it's a whole new world. All you have to do is want it. Nonetheless, hold the pickle, hold the lettuce. That song's haunted me for years. So anyway, yesterday I was practicing my singing and thought at one point I kind of sound like a baritone Art Garfunkel. Then I turned on the TV and there was Simon and Garfunkel in Central Park on PBS. It's a great show. I watched most of it, but I was much more concerned with watching the premiere of Everwood on Warner Brothers. For some reason I was drawn to it, and then I cut the broadcast and, you know, put it online and then ended it by nearly singing, you know, loving every minute of it. So I'm sitting there watching Everwood, and I wonder if it really exists. You know, it looks up like a place I could be really happy in. Anyway, and this Burger King commercial comes on, and it ends with the people singing, loving every minute of it. Okay, fine. You know, I can deal with that. So then a few minutes later, there were music vocals in the background of the soundtrack, and I couldn't find it in the credits, but it had to have been Art Garfunkel. Maybe I'll meet him one day. His album Watermark, by the way, is one of my all-time favorites. It was a tribute to the great songwriter Jimmy Webb, who wrote such hits for Glen Campbell as By the Time I Get to Phoenix and Galveston, as well as the hit Up, Up, and Away for the Fifth Dimension, another one of my favorite groups. Two more faves out of that group of artists include songwriter Laura Nyro and the hot duo Ashford and Simpson, all of whom wrote numerous hits as writers as well. By the way, today is the 54th birthday of a member of the Fifth Dimension, Roger McLemore. However, on the other hand, last week Ron Townsend, singer in the group, passed away at the age of 68. In the stock market, as the United States prepares to spend another $100 billion on an unnecessary war, it goes down another 200 points. Let's have a good day on Wall Street. There's plenty of information out there to help you make good decisions. For example, when you look at how Tyco managed its money and how executives milked a company to death, you can easily see the difference between that and, well, say the case of Jack Welch, who negotiated a package that was quite reasonable at the time it was made, based on the positive performance of General Electric. He earned it. But in these times, when the government promises to promote the image of business and does nothing, people like Jack Welch get demonized in the hysteria to identify villains, and where they don't exist. Like in the case of Jack Welch. By the way, he stated he's willing to give back part of his package to make it more fair in current economic times. You haven't heard anything like that from Kenneth Lay of Enron, have you? GE, by the way, is one of the companies that's going to begin listing stock options as an expense. Stories I haven't at all forgotten about: O.J. and Robert Blake, earthquakes, What's Her Name Coulter and her new book Slander, the Gulf of Tonkin, and the reason you voted for George Bush. Somehow I have a feeling they'll start coming out soon. It's almost timely. By the way, the recent reports of black bears attacking humans should not at all be unexpected. It's really a simple formula. As humans use and burn and pollute more and more of their native hunting lands, wild animals will come seeking food and water. Strange critters actually think they have a right to live here, too. And it will likely occur more and more with a variety of species. As we ignore global warming and trim our forests in ways that harm the animals for the benefit of humans, that's why I urge you to check out GRASP. It's at the United Nations, the Great Apes Survival Project. It's all about how these gorillas, apes, and monkeys, our closest evolutionary relatives, are desperately facing extinction, and why that should concern you. And with that, speaking of natural things, back to Santa Cruz. Council members did indeed provide marijuana to legitimate patients to whom medical marijuana was prescribed. Thus far, the Bush administration has chosen to compassionately allow it to occur without incidents. I applaud them for that, and we'll be watching. One of the things that struck me most about the event, though, was a dissenter with a sign that read, "My local officials are supporting illegal drugs." At first I thought, she's got a point, but the truth is it's not accurate, because in this case, her local officials were in compliance with local laws. The trickle-down economists love the idea of returning power to the states for the purpose of relieving government of the burden of tending to the well-being of the people, but apparently not on what they would call moral issues. It sounds like the obscenity case trials all over again to me. And the judgment that was about the obscenity case was to be judged based on local values. Sounds to me like the feds lose in an honest court. I want to remind you that when you get frustrated with the world and what's going on and how your life is going, there's really only one thing to do. Just close your eyes. Take three slow, deep breaths and imagine it's a whole new world. All you have to do is want it. You can see it, you can smell it, you can almost touch it. And all you have to do is want it. When you open your eyes, the world will somehow become what you've seen. One final note for the night. Al Gore. Al, I know it's too soon for you to announce, and I know it's not exactly fashionable for anyone to align themselves with me at this point, but that will change. And one of these days when I announce my candidacy for the vice presidency, I just want you to know I'll run a good, clean campaign. I'll get the slander out of the way. You know it's coming. But no matter what, I just want you to know I'll keep the presidential slot open for you. And I'll even vote this time. And that's a wrap. This is Charles at democraticfundamentalism.org.